Instead of then being followed by about 15 minutes in the seminar presentation on the plan, you're finally at which time I'm going to open it up to some questions or comments from my colleagues, and then make sure we have ample opportunity for members of the public to be heard. We have more to say by 10 o'clock this evening. I want to be very clear about that. The public hearing will not be closed. If you do not get a chance to speak this evening, you will have later opportunities to speak. We try very hard to allow anyone and everyone who wants to speak to have an opportunity to speak, not once, but on occasion multiple times, which is fine. We encourage public comment. You are more than welcome at any time to submit written material to us. We go to our committee clerk, Ms. Khan. She makes sure that they circulate to all members of the committee. And we are making those comments very carefully. For those of you who are not familiar, we also have a site visit to the site. We did that a number of months ago. We had an opportunity to walk through the site and understand the current conditions of these in the area. And when we do get the public comments, we're going to ask two things. One is to come up with a logical and speak to the name and address. And two, to keep your remarks in 3 minutes or less. And the reason for that is try to make sure that everyone who has wanted to speak has an opportunity to speak. If there is a group of people who wish to speak at some point, I ask that someone contact me in advance. We are trying something a little bit different with this speaker to allow groups to have more than 3 minutes on the theory that rather than 10, 12, 15, 16 people allow to say perhaps the same thing, we get one single group representation. We're in the process of discussing how well that is working. But we're going to try to continue that. If you are part of some organized group and want that time, please get in touch with me, email me, easiest way, you can call me, or try to do our best to accommodate you. So with that, please help me take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, other members of the council, and members of the planning board. For the record, my name is Stephen Bookbinder. I'm an attorney with the law firm of President of Bookbinder, with offices at 1200 Walnut Street in New Hyde. And I'm here this evening representing the district. As you know, the chair has indicated this is a project which requires both a special permit for the area of the lease, as well as a change in zone for a lease before. Also with me tonight are several representatives from the district. Robert Court, Jamie Calvinano, the principal, David Brooks, and Daniel Brooks. Also with us tonight, John Connor, who you hear from, a fiscal consultant, Brandon Fleet, a Belvedere consulting, our affordable housing consultant, and my associate, Brandon Schweitzer.
Before you get started, I see a number of people sitting on the side here. Two things. One is people may move in a little bit to try to accommodate the neighbors who may want to sit the way during the lengthy hearing. I think that would be appreciated. And two, there is seating in the balcony for those who wish to sit up there.
Now, that's perfectly all right. Last June, we provided you with an overview for the proposed project. In July, we presented further detail, largely focusing on traffic and proposed off-site mitigation. This evening, as the chairman noted, we will focus on three items in the following order. First, our affordable housing plan, which will include a new component for moderate income housing. Second, the issue of loss of use of the site. And third, John Connery will go through the basis of the fiscal impact report. Before we get to those issues, I've been asked very briefly to address one other matter. There was an environmental study which was conducted at the site. Our environmental consultant, Sandor Smith and Associates, concluded that the site does not represent a significant environmental challenge for the development. Some soil samples were in excess of the critical concentration, and they weren't captured during the assessment or recorded in the inquiry. And these samples represent a minority of those taken at the site. The proposed development, in fact, will facilitate the required cleanup and allow removal of the activity and use limitations currently on record with the registry of deeds, which encompasses a portion of the site. A copy The memorandum to the town and chamber has findings has been reported previously, and that is the title, the engineer who drafted the report, is with us tonight, is going to be available to answer any questions. Jamie Sciacquino is going to lead off and discuss the affordable housing plan, and then he's going to give you the report.
Thank you.
Over 1,900 households
within the 9,000 records that will currently fall within this category. Our proposal tonight, the additional 10% of 17 units, is targeted exactly those folks. Individuals that are firefighters, policemen, teachers, municipal workers in the field. What we've been hearing in the community is that these hardworking individuals are being priced out of duty and are finding it harder and harder to stay at their current income to maintain housing in the new area. What we're also hearing is that families whose children have grown up in the area have had to stay in nearby towns, Waltham, Watertown, because they can't afford to move back to the oftentimes many of whom work in the Metro City. To give you a more detailed sense of who these folks are, as you can see here, individuals falling within the 50 to 80% of what we're defining as the Tier 1 inclusionary housing group, that 15%, ranging from $34,000 for a single individual household all the way up to $73,000 for a four-person household at the 8% level. For those of you unfamiliar, typically 30% is the benchmark of housing costs associated with the rent. So as you see below, you give you an idea of what the rent will translate to depending on where individuals fall within the household spectrum. Studios under this Tier 1 housing would start at $160. One bedroom would start at $920, with two bedrooms starting at $1,100. These 26 units would also be part of maybe subsidized housing inventory and count towards the total stock, and they would also be protected in the perpetuity. The second tier for the middle income housing of 17 units falls at the 80 to 120% AMI level. As you can see from the chart, the 80% level for a single household starts at $51,000 and ranges to $82,440 for 120% AMI level. And at the four-person household number, ranges from $73,000 all the way up to $179,000. When you apply the same threshold number of 30% housing cost to rent, you'll see that the studios start at $1,280. So one bed at $1,380 and two beds at $1,650. Similar to the Tier 1 inclusionary housing units, these units would also be subject to the lottery process and the appropriate fair marketing plan. They would be subject to yearly monitoring and income verification, and they would also be required to meet ADA specific requirements. Folks that fall within the two categories, for example, in the 50-80% category include waiters and waitresses, health aides, new college graduates, postal delivery workers, social workers, and entry-level teachers. The census data that you review when you look at the 80 to 120% AMI level includes city workers, firemen, policemen, teachers, office and admin support, sales jobs, as well as maintenance and repair jobs. One of the common questions we've heard is, what does this mean for the current record data project? As part of this process, we've reached out to EHPD in hopes that we can put 70% of the units into what's referred to as the local preference category. Based on initial feedback that our consultant, LDS Consulting, has received, we are very confident that we'll be able to set aside 70% of those units for individuals currently living at the property. The remaining units will then be subject to the lottery system that we talked about earlier, with individuals or families who live in Newton, households and family members that work in Newton, and households or family members who attend public school in Newton, all able to bid on those available units. One of the common critiques of our project that we've heard is that the 26 proposed affordable units that we submitted as part of our special permit application isn't a true representation of the net affordable units that would be left when the project was built. As many of you know, there are currently 20 residential units on our site. As part of our due diligence process and looking into the local preference designation, we interviewed a number of our current tenants to see whether or not they would actually qualify for the housing once it was built. Furthermore, what we've also added is four residential units on Washington Terrace, to provide temporary housing for those tenants being displaced by our project, with the ability to come back in the future into a new home. To our surprise, to date, we've only been able to fill two of the four units on Washington Terrace with those individuals who qualify for affordable housing under the inclusionary zoning policy. Although we don't disagree that the rents are currently at rates in line with affordable rents, what we don't agree with is the notion that the people renting there would also qualify under the strict standards that protected affordable housing requires. In addition, we question the quality of the housing product that currently exists there, and we would offer you the opportunity at any time to come and see it for yourself. As you can see from these pictures, the building over the time has been lacking serious capital improvements needed to maintain these areas. As you can see here, ADA accessibility is not maintained, and it certainly doesn't provide what we would hope would be inviting home to many residents. There's certainly no question whether we leave a landlord or someone else, any sort of significant capital improvements that are required in this project would in turn require an exclusive rent. From our perspective, this property has sat dormant for fear of having to put capital into it, and therefore the rent has been depressed as a result. We're very excited about the additional 10% of 17 units of affordable housing. As we said, based on the feedback we received from the community, we think that attracting the middle income who currently have no protected housing will be a big win for this project, and quite frankly, a big win for the community. This issue, as you might have read in New Lies, middle income housing report is certainly not one that is only being faced here in New. The ULI reports that Metro Boston will need over 21,000 units of middle income housing just to meet the current demand. We hope our project will serve as a stepping stone to addressing this issue in New.
Next, just one point of clarification. May I ask a question of clarification? The middle income housing you're talking about, is that going to be in perpetuity or for a set time period?
The planning department asked us that same question, and we're looking to do it right now. We don't have a final word on that, but we'll be back to you to do it right now.
We certainly will need that answer on tonight. Thank you.
Okay, next we have
from earlier conversation, we were asked to address the ability of adding or swapping commercial space for existing residential space. As you might know, our current project includes 17% of the total square footage being set aside for commercial space, and we've been asked to consider increasing that number to 33% or as much as 50% of the total allocation. Before I go into the details, I want to be clear that we're not residential developers, we're real estate developers, we're building other product types in other communities, and we're not wed to the fact of just building residential. As part of our diligence on this project, we spent a significant amount of time speaking with local brokers, and we do not believe that office space is vital option here. We'll go into the details a little later.
Before you do, do you have any written material that you can provide us for regarding your due diligence?
Yeah, I
have. I thought I'd ask you to go find us in that chance. Do you have that?
No, I'm sorry. I just kind of misunderstood this. I thought you would want the material you were presenting tonight.
What? My apologies. You know, if you don't mind, if you could provide us with whatever written material you have, okay, that would help. Thank you. Bye.
So one of the things you thought was to take one of the questions that you proposed was to take what would be the implications of taking one of the levels for the second floor and converting it into commercial space. A couple things to consider as you think about that proposal. One, office space requires higher floor-to-floor heights than residential, in the range of 3 to 4 units per floor would be required. In other words, in order to the same square footage or the same number of stories, we have to increase the overall height going over and above the end of the floor allowance. In addition, the buildings that are currently being built for new office users are not built with the same materials as you've seen in the residential market, which is a stick product or a wood product, excuse me. They're steel. In order to provide ceiling height, account for the bays and the different allowance spaces that an office user would require. Therefore, providing a building that's all wood would be less than ideal from a tenant perspective. In addition to the building height and the methodology of construction, due to security and privacy issues, any office tenant would require separate entrances, elevators, dedicated amenity spaces. To justify this type of cost, typically requires a significant amount of office use to amortize that cost over the tenant. By converting only one floor, we won't have enough space, in our opinion, to justify doing that type of work dedicated solely to an office user. The second question then is whether or not we'd be willing to consider taking one of the three buildings and converting it to an office building. What we looked at was actually taking the West building, which is 76 units and 83,000 square feet, and doing that exact approach. Three things that need to be taken into account in doing so: traffic, parking, and future growth. As it relates to parking, as many of you probably know, working in office spaces, the space per individual has dropped significantly over the last 5 to 7 years. What that has meant is more people are being crammed into office spaces, and in suburban locations, it's typically driving up the parking ratio required by office tenants. While the industry norm in the area, based on what we've seen, seems to be 3 spaces per 1,000, we think that this requirement is even conservative, and we'll show you on the next slide that we can take you to this ratio with you. We also look at implications for traffic. As you know, office traffic does not share the same pattern as residential traffic. Unlike residential, you typically see a more spread out flow of traffic. In the case of office traffic, you see two big impacts, both in the peak AM and the peak PM hours, creating issues. Future growth. What we're hearing in the marketplace is that any large tenant looking to put up a flag wants the ability to grow. As you know, TripAdvisor, New Balance, Wolverine, these folks have either located the office park where they can grow as their company grows, or they bunker down in office buildings that allow them the future verticality of moving up or over in buildings as their tenants move. We think not having the ability to go higher over time, if your tenant so shows, would be a challenge to attracting a large tenant of that type. So to give you a sense of what this means, we just did a simple case study. As I said, we took the West building, which is currently proposed at 76 units and 83,000 square feet. Under our current proposal, at a 1.25 parking ratio, the 76 units equates to 95 below-grade parking spaces. From a traffic count perspective, the daily trip equates to 607. From a project cost perspective, when we test all things being equal as it relates to land, the cost roughly would be $25 million. Applying those same metrics to the office space at 83,000 square feet, and again, using a 3 per 1,000, which we think is aggressive to get a deal done in today's market, we would have to almost triple the number of parking spaces below grade to meet that requirement of the tech cost.
Here, the number of parking spaces that are required without the waiver for residential or what?
Without the waiver.
So it would be 200?
No, it would be 156.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're talking about the
point. To give you a sense of traffic count, we had to look at this and do a preliminary traffic count study, and as you can see here as well, the traffic count on a daily basis almost doubled. In addition, the notion of providing steel construction, dependent allowances to build the building, to bring the project cost in at a range of around $40 million, or a 60% increase to what we're proposing today.
Can I just ask one more factual question?
Yes,
$25 million versus the $40 million. Was that $40 million that was all office?
if you could take the 83,000 for the law office at 40 million versus 83,000 for residential at 25 million, yes.
And you're talking about the cost of the total 75 million to do the
party?
The
ideal. If you built the west building, you have two options. You can either build it all residential building, which is your column on the left. Or you could choose, if you so desire, to go with an office project, which is for
so the project cost, where I just wanted, I don't want you to continue, I just want my colleagues to understand the facts of my presentation. The $25 million is the cost of building as proposed.
That's correct.
You're saying that if you change one building to office, it's going to go up $15 million to build it?
That's correct.
Can you go back up for that statistic?
Yes, it is.
Would you provide that to us, please?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to stick to factual questions. Go ahead.
There's also a factual, just following your mind. So the traffic count is designated by the number of units or the number of cars consumed. If we're assuming 1.25 cars, that generates a smaller traffic count than if it's just 2 cars per unit. What are you saying?
Yeah, the question is, we don't have a traffic consultant here that can follow up with you on that exact thing.
Well,
can't
really see the slides, but all things being equal, what I wanted to show here is in that detail, and you'll present this information to you as well in the detail. But the rents that are currently due now on various projects here in Houston. So you probably can't see is the rent on the low end start at $23 and they bring on the high end to $36. So you can't see that. All things being equal, if you assume our residential rents are at $3 a square foot per month or on an annual basis $36, in order to justify the incremental $15 million in cost, in other words, going from $25 to $40 million, in various groups, we have to get much higher rent from the office than the $36.
So what are your taxes? Are any of these new buildings?
Those are, none of them are new buildings, but they're very few, as you know, very few new buildings that are built.
So you're talking about the proposed plan for new construction for the residential. Like you know, we just thought on the proposed plan for new construction commercial computer systems.
Right, I think. To get me, who's actually running and what was the zone when it was here tonight, to provide more specificity. But the number that CFO to justify the country's parking cost, an incremental $15 million, would be in the high 40s below $50 for new construction in today's market, which is significantly above what you're seeing here, which is why we don't think a new tenant would be able to afford those costs. We were also asked as part of the proposal to look at the demand that the retail space currently provides. We were asked in a short time to look at it in the context of largely a new report that was prepared for Austin Street. Very simply said, if you look at Austin Street as your point of start or your starting point, and you look at a 3 minute, a 5 minute, 5 minute, and a 10 minute drive time per RPG's report, what this would tell you is that $111 million brings in $651 million of consumer spending by new residents is currently leaking out of the new market. In other words, these folks are going to other communities to spend their income. Using those assumptions, RKG data, what's called a gap analysis, to see how much retail square footage is captured by bringing in a certain portion of that spending shortfall. Using a conservative 10% as a benchmark, they estimated anywhere from 30 to 192,000 square feet could be supported at 28 Austin Street. Now, full disclosure, we did not review their numbers. We just inserted our numbers as part of this process to give you feedback on Monday as well. With that, I'm going to turn it over to John Connery. Connery and Associates provide fiscal impact.
Thank you very much. I just want to note that I've been joined by a couple of colleagues calling in my favor. Councilman Harney, Ward Councilman, Ward 4, member of the committee. Councilman Alex O'Leary, Ward Councilman from Ward 1, not a member of the committee.
I think I can. For the record, my name is John Connery, representing Connery and Associates.
power of Massachusetts. I've been hired by the applicant to prepare a physical impact study. What I'm going to do this evening is take you through the highlight of the summary of the physical analysis, reduce the number of slides, and ask any questions that have that physical report filed in this application, and we can deal with the benefit of the people who may be listening or folks behind me here. I just want to create a benchmark definition of physical study on the It's essentially a comparison of recurring costs, public municipal costs, versus recurring revenues generated by the site in question. So it's cost versus revenue, and at any time we use the shorthand of cost to revenue ratio, and the ratio of one would be neutral and less than one would be positive, and we'll see some examples of that speaking as we go through. So that is the benchmark, but I'd also like to point out that in the development of this analysis, we have very good rapport with assessors, school departments, police and fire, and sure we use all local numbers because we based our analysis on local projects that exist, particularly for residential areas, the problem community was the Avalon Island, around Chestnut Hill, and Harbor Point and Woodland. We looked at those developments in terms of numbers of the police, and fire, and ambulance, and also the number of school-age children related to specific needs inside them. The other thing to keep in mind as I go through this is this is an analysis that assumes that this proposal of Washington Place is here today. We turned off. It's here today. We want to look at what would it mean? What would be the profile? Would it be positive? Would it be negative? How many police trips, fire trips, manual trips, and things of that nature would it generate if it were here today, charging all the charge budget? So that would be the compute that you can use to get a decent estimate on how my profile might look like. As a starting point of my presentation, before I go to the first slide, I'd like to say, and I will go through the analysis and show you how I came to that conclusion. The proposal is positive as a mixed-use development, and both components, whether it be the commercial component or the residential component. Now, the residential component is not as positive as the commercial component, actually, because it has the lines of cost of spending the school budget, including the inflation school cost. But it actually is positive while the commercial combined is a specifically positive project. To start the process in any physical study, you need to look at the site that you're dealing with. In this case, you know, your block is a developed site. And again, if I go through these, I know there's a lot of numbers up here. I will speak to them and listen to the particular question. So we examine national media adjusted rate for what the total tax revenue of your block is today, the subject site, all the costs involved. $257,000. General service or municipal service costs for non-education come up to about $48,000 for primarily police, fire, and ambulance costs. And service costs for education in this particular case is about $59,200 to do that school-age children on the site. So, when you look at that and look at the column to the right and see the circle area, there is net benefit coming off of the existing site of about $149,000. That's worthwhile to keep in mind. And just very quickly on this particular slide, a number I'd like to draw your attention to is in the bottom row. The assessed value of the site is made of all the different components is $13,300,000. Now, Washington Place, the proposal, we looked at all the component pieces, both residential and commercial, and we looked at it in terms of the way your assessor would assess rental property, the income method, the cap rate,
vacancy rate in the residential, and we generated an estimated assessed value of the residential component of $50 million, roughly 50.4. The commercial component is included less than 40,000 square feet at $11,900,000. The point of reference being $62 million from $3 million assessed valuation versus the current $13.3 million. On the right-hand column, which is annual revenue, you see the residential roughly would produce about $600,000. That revenue stream includes some excise tax because obviously you would have cars on the site. And then the commercial component about $281,000. So it's $861,000. Annual revenue flow versus the 257.
Quick question, is there any personal property tax assessed for commercial lines?
No, not to my knowledge. Because I think they're relatively small facilities that don't fall under that category.
Just wanted to make sure you understand what the next is. Councilor Schwartz?
That's for a thousand per meal. Is that your tax?
I didn't calculate the meal tax because I'm not sure at this point the size of the restaurant, the size of the restaurant. So, in anything that you would be looking at this year, we might be a little bit low, but I did not include that as a commercial tax.
Could you try to estimate some portion of meal tax in the next time on tonight when it comes to my
review? Sure, I can work with the applicant and we can make an estimate of the range of the size of the restaurant so that we can use it for some of the figures on the back.
Thank you, sir.
May I ask you
for a reason, please? Do you
want
to go back to that slide,
please? No, I'm just going to ask for a question. From a fiscal benefit calculation, is that based on an actual experience or the benchmark that you use for?
The way we put that together is the observed cost of education is based on your actual net school spending. I had an issue of not knowing the exact makeup of our commercial components. So I didn't want to stop guessing. So what I use is the two things. My own experience and the cost of revenue ratio of first floor retail space in the region goes between 0.05 to about 0.2. And this body reviewed the Oxford Street retail at 0.2. I think it's a little high, but I use the 0.2 Oxford Street analysis to keep it consistent right across the street. And that's how we go through some of the development. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.
use of oxygen treatment for food. And we came up with a relatively large number to give them $150,000, $150,500 of care and service cost that's on the public safety component. Now, who is the children? The largest component of any cost in any project of a standalone residential or a mixed use in this case. What we did again is looked at the three properties that I mentioned. We looked at the number of school-age children coming off of the one, two, and studios, one and two bedrooms, each one with affordable components. And it was a range between 22 to 29. And on average, it came out to about 24 students. We took the inherent, and this is more detailed than the report on this slide, you take the inherent ratio of those numbers and you apply it to 74 two-bedroom businesses we have, an aggregate number, and you come up with a number of approximately 24. I'd like to say one thing about that number, because I've been doing this for a while, and I always put out a number of school-age children, and if I don't hit it on the button, I'm going to go to 50. Well, that's an average number. In reality, the operational range will probably be 10 to 15%. I have decided that number for 90% of the upcoming years ahead. It used to be 20 or 28 is what you should be thinking about. And there'll be 20 years of 32 and another year you'll get 15. That's just the nature of option development. Now, you take that number and you have, and I used the last audit in fiscal 2016 budget for fiscal 6394. I removed the state aid number because we have missed that new residence building. I can add it or subtract it at this point. I choose to do my studies to subtract it. Because essentially the 14,000 aid number is the number that you're responsible for coming off of your tax base in your community to provide the full education benefit. When you add those numbers together, you have $355,000 education costs. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago, we're looking at 24 students. Based on your enrollment report, which I'll throw to school rather than okay, in my business, they rather put up a desk that I've seen in the community and that was hundreds of people. They do, well, that report is absolutely the gold standard. They pretty much confirm, when you look at the numbers, you can get 55 to 75% of your students coming out of Buffalo and to the elementary grade. And here, if we hit that 50% standard of minus 24, we would have 14 students who would be enrolled in all of this elementary grades, and probably a corresponding in that district, which would be in that school district. And then 40% of 10 students would enroll in all various grades of the middle and high school.
Can I ask you a question about your statistical analysis? I know Councilman Norton raised that one as well. I believe your number of 24 came from your analysis of 3 other projects, is that right? Can you take into account the location of those projects and how far or close they are to the school compared to this project?
Yes, I did. And I also, in the report, you will see something that's a little bit different than that I'm going to get something happening like how I'm going to bring up. I actually think, sir, in my experience, which has been over 3 decades of doing this, residential development from suburban commercial development, which this is, over residential over commercial, produces the least amount of students per unit, up to 50 to 80% less than moving in the comparable. I at one time looked at your mixed-use development, for instance, in Houston Center, decided not to use it because the numbers weren't there. It wasn't 100 units of value. So, the answer to the question is, I think the number could be a little higher in terms of location to the schools or transit, but also it seems to be another push going the other way, which is in this case, the locational value of having something that's not in the industry. You walk out the front door, you want a sidewalk. By designing an open space play area, and the units are very small.
put those together, I decided to save the average that I have. That's all.
Okay, that's all. Thank you. Councilor Norton, do you have a factual question? I want you to answer the factual question.
Yes, factual.
Go ahead.
So the planning department had asked the memo that the petitioner was going to add three bedroom units, and mentioned that and I'm wondering if you have an analysis, a physical analysis of that, because I would assume that would be more students.
I can address that, and maybe that might probably be in my mind in my ear, and I don't know if it's true, but, when I looked at that number, I had made the decision first where those 6 days units would come from, given that I had studios, one of them, two. I made an assumption in this case, it would come from the two bedroom units. So, the first thing I have to do is remove roughly 2 to 3 students. I think the ratio, I'm thinking about that, I think the ratio is about 0.32 for the two bedroom units, and it's a lot of that number. If I take that out of the 8 units, I have a couple of students that I have to reduce. Then if I go back and look at one bedroom on a regional analysis, and you can't call the art school or anybody else and say how many students come out of that particular unit, using an aggregate number. I used the market rate at 8 units. I said 7 would be market, in this case, 1 would be affordable. The affordable would be about 1.3, 1.4 students, roughly double what your single family rate is now. And the market rate would be about 0.6, a little bit lower than the single family rate. The net, to be honest, is somewhere between 4 and 5 students extra. It would add that 3 students or higher number would probably increase between $55,000 and $60,000 worth of cost. And that, bearing in mind again, removing it from the two bedroom, if you remove it from the one bedroom, it would be significantly higher.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Finally, I want to talk about the concept of your question.
Just one of my I'm sorry. Oh, come on.
What is that?
Go ahead.
We look at a concept called net fiscal benefit, and then there's another concept called annual fiscal benefit. I want to make that clear what that is. This number implies the second column under existing. You remember the valuation was 13,300,000. Annual revenue 270 is cost. There's a 1.9 net number. The proposed has a 62,761,000 revenue, and roughly $505,000 in cost. That 355 is the annual fiscal deficit, meaning that if the project were here today, that would be generally roughly the amount of dollars, today's value, that it would generate every single year going forward. Now, the net number, and this is asked in most by many communities, is what happens if you take your 355 and subtract the 149 from today? Legitimate question, and a number comes out to be $206,000. I think that's a valuable number to look at, but it's also a very, very limiting number and can be confusing because fiscal deficit, in this case, is dynamic. If you can imagine if you were locked and you took the story to what it looked like, that building is still there today, and the decision was to leave it there for the next 5 to 10 years as is. It might go up in that valuation, maybe not as a rent, more modern commercial facility go up, but the new building would go up significantly more. And then again, you can have to verify that with your assessor, but I feel very confident in saying what you're saying. So what happens is in year 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the net fiscal benefit is just rising and rising. And when you talk about net fiscal benefit, it's like an analysis of doesn't happen or doesn't happen. So if the project doesn't happen, then the $1 million of permitting fees that are paid before the project starts doesn't get paid. And many communities look at that as a net differential of what happens. Or you look at it in terms of what the social benefit is of no affordable housing versus the amount of affordable housing, as my colleague has outlined. So there's a number, but it probably paints the worst possible picture, but we're going to have to provide it in that video. And I'm going to summarize and just point out that the assessed valuation will increase roughly about $49 million. That's a large amount of money, but again, as this board knows, the first year of that will not be tax limited by 2.5. So that'll be a new growth factor. I'm not sure exactly what the rate will be, but there'll be some additional fiscal benefits because it won't be constrained by 2.5. Based upon the revenue ratio of the combined project of 0.58, I use the phrase no more than 24 students. The ongoing fiscal benefit going forward here are $355,500, and there's the net fiscal benefit number again, which is D1. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman,
and I will turn it
over to you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Oh, hold on. The subsidy for the presentation is really good. Really good. How does the audience want to ask the question? Do you want to ask it now before the final vote?
Good rejoinder.
So, if you go back to the joint of the board of management, so, what I asked 2 months ago was not just the cost per seat, I think that's a helpful number, but most people recognize that it's not that helpful because it's amortized per seat over fixed costs. It's not just schools are stepwise funding here. So, have you looked forward to it, whether or not any individual students are going to be the straw that holds the camel's back?
What I did is I looked at the enrollment studies that your committee did. And what I found for Horace Mann, the current study, was from 2016 to 2021. And the Horace Mann is projected by your school department to have a reduction of 18 students, elementary students, over the next 5 years. I am going to make it truthfully, I would never say that this project can then make 14 students because, first of all, each year those numbers are reduced, and there are other factors that go into it beyond this process. We don't want to make a claim that we understand the school department and needs or desires more than the school department. I am certainly not in a position to say that, because I can tell you of all the development, residential development you can have, that the unit, number of students per unit, because this project is 56% one studio, there's no kids, only the 74 units of students and kids, and 2 bedrooms at home, and there may or may not be a 3 bedroom, whatever the people decide. So what you're saying is you don't know which is the next 5 years. I can give you a voice for another reason. As you know, probably about 30 years ago, you had about 5,000 more kids in the new school system than you have now. You have close to 18,000 kids. Numbers will not make those down. The study that I read, what I took away from it, and when people share it, it may be different, but I'll take this right now, is that the school numbers are going up each year, but not as fast as they have been in the past.
Right.
And as a result, you may be on a downswing. I just don't want to put us in a position to crystal ball something that your school department can do better than I
can. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, well, do you want to summarize? Yeah. So, Mr. Chairman, one point that I wanted to throw on to the discussion here. One thing we did not include in the study, but we talked about, is the indirect benefit from having an increased community that will give you in terms of consumer spending. It's rather vague that we do include in the report, but I think it's clear to see that if you have a number of residents living there, you will be having a community, I think, is an indirect
effect. I presume that would be true for people who work in the area too, right? If you have them as well, to some degree.
I think more so than you
said.
So,
We submitted very detailed responses with various questions which you all raised at the first two public hearings in writing there. I just wanted you to be aware of that. I was on your hands of what you did. I think you did a great job. You took those and synthesized climate issues with the planning clients, you. But we have filed those responses. If you have them and if you want them, they're available.
I think it would be helpful if we saw your direct responses and if you did it.
We can definitely do that. And the final thing I wanted to note is that because the focus tonight was on the two issues we discussed, we did not send a traffic engineer, we did not send our architect, we go ahead and make this successful plan and the plumbing environment. So that's our thing.
You know, that's fully understood and I appreciate that. We don't want to have your experts join necessarily. We have a lot to say this evening. Councilor Fuller, do you have a factual question?
Sure, go ahead.
The planning department has been putting in the picture to include some three-bedroom units
project, and this effort cannot exclude forms and urban development. Of course, as a result, this would increase the number of school children. However, there are many factors that influence these projections, and in general, multifamily development over a limited commercial space would be expected to be less of a draw on families than the more traditional multifamily buildings, with amenities that are appealing to families, such as dedicated living spaces or a pool. Of course, the exception is the district units, which would undoubtedly be attractive. It's also important to note that the fiscal impact and the number of school children in the project are not as part of the criteria that the city council must consider when evaluating this project. Finally, I would note that a redeveloped site will increase in assessed value over time at a much higher rate than the non-approved existing site will. Accordingly, the net fiscal benefit of the project will improve over the initial stabilization period. The project is expected to have an assessed value of between $62.2 million and $63 million, more than 4 times the value of the existing space. I think it's also important to acknowledge that there are other economic benefits to projects such as this. There are building permit fees, construction jobs, and employment exercises, as well as the economic impact of new residential spending in the local economy. The planning department did compare the fiscal impact score for this project with the one completed by LPG for the Austin Street project, and we note that the Austin Street project report was less conservative. For example, the Austin Street report backed up children expected to attend private school. It used a lower cost per pupil, and the Chancellor's Board noted it included a meal tax. I want to be clear that there is nothing wrong with what they did, and only want to make the point that the petitioner's fiscal impact projection was conservative. I would also note that because the existing study has a significant amount of vacancy, the costs associated with the service of this site are actually significantly lower right now than would be if it were more fully utilized. Austin Street also submitted an economic impact analysis, which shows approximately $1.8 million annually in local spending, and the Washington Place project, which is similarly expected to have a significant impact on local spending. Austin Street also submitted a retail market analysis that shows that you can go at almost 50% below the national average for square feet and square feet per person, and shows that there is demand for new retail identities in the service. You know, the system and I both did our own on that one. New district restricted units also have a value to you, as recent units subsidized by the city cost between $300,000 and $500,000 per unit. The Washington Place project will generate more school children than the Austin Street project will employ, because Austin Street is not approved any two-bedroom units. However, the amount of commercial space is significantly larger than the Washington Place project. The city's comprehensive plan presents a vision for moderate, controlled growth, yet calls for enhancing vitality in the service centers. That concludes the comprehensive plan, excellent replacement plan, calls for documenting a clear vision and connecting public investment and regulations to that vision. The City Council acted consistently with these principles when it adopted the Minister's Board Zoning District proposed for the city. To encourage economically sustainable and interesting commercial services. More recently, in 2015, the planning department put together a vision for new details for the mayor, which was shared with the council in relation to the discussion of the Austin Street development. The executive branch of the city has continued to think and act from a comprehensive perspective, following the beliefs of the key demographic reports prepared by the Department of Center, which are released as a housing needs analysis and recommendations, which highlights the critical need to promote affordable housing and diverse housing options. Other sections
Not moving forward
for improvements to the grid under the franchise and for improvements to parts of the status of the Washington Street. Other priorities include advancing the redesign of the Washington Street corridor and the planning department as well as the public works department would like to see special patient funds applied to this sidewalk for the
thank you very much, colleagues, I'd like to give you an opportunity to ensure that we all have an opportunity to ask questions both the planning department and the developer. I'm going to ask that we try to wrap up our questions by earlier than say 9 o'clock to give the public an opportunity to speak. I think, by the way, members of the public have been very patient. I think our dialogue back and forth is informative and may help influence the type of comments that you made to us, both of all that you presented so far and the kinds of questions we ask. Again, we are going to finish by 10 o'clock this evening. And when the students, if anybody with a real heart, if they know they can't come back to another night, they have a solid home and a sitter, I'll try to accommodate as best I can. Just, you know, we'll try to do this as quickly as possible. So with that, one other thing before I hand to Councilor Baker, I think it's important that we're engaged in this process to set some kind of framework for our dialogue. I for one am going to be very clear about this. Don't think that the status quo at this site, which is what anybody would suggest would be good for the city, or good for economic development, it is undoubtedly a site that's not going to use to its full potential. And so I think if we address this, we heard something a lot about the fact that this special permit proposed will improve the site, improve residents of the city. I would probably ask us to think about the fact that something, whether it's this permit or something else, is likely to be done at this site to improve the site, to probably improve it significantly. And I think if we engage in our conversation, we do it in that light, rather than nothing will ever happen here versus this special permit. So with that context, unless my colleagues radically disagree with me, I'm going to go to Councilor Baker.
Thank you very much.
Is not recognized by the state currently. And when a project has less than 25% of the total units that are considered eligible, the entire project does not count. So this project would get credit for 26 units as currently proposed. It's a benefit on the team, but it doesn't get units on the FSI.
So this is part of the upgrading of the meters?
Mm-hmm.
And then last thing, does the petitioner and the sheriff's office taking into account the planning department's plan for a road project for that part of Washington Street? They're reducing the menu. They just want to make sure that they're consistent with what they're planning and analyzing. And the city thought about going on with four lanes, the three lanes.
The city was working with the petitioner and we're in discussions on what that really will look like.
Okay. So, comments, questions? I have some. I want to follow up. Oh, I'm sorry, Councilor Schwartz. Well, I want to follow up on what Councilor Norton just asked about the shrinkage in Central Washington Street that we discussed. In your memo, you talked about the appropriate height of these buildings, and you looked at that in comparison to the width of Washington Street. As the width of Washington Street shrinks, does that affect your analysis of the appropriateness in the height?
It could in some locations, but we're not necessarily talking about shrinking the width of Washington Street from building to from one end to the other in terms of the width. It's more narrowing the roadways, cutting the bike lanes. It's a road diet for cars, but not necessarily narrowing the public right of way.
So when in your report, when you talk about the appropriate level of height, that is from edge of building to the other side of the street, is that include sidewalks? Is that your analysis of how you do it?
That typically includes the width of the street, as well as the width of the sidewalk in front of the development. It's more of an art, not exactly a science, but
well, I'm concerned though because we are talking about shrinking the roadway. One of the observations was this is a very large four-lane roadway, therefore can justify a taller building there. If the road shrinks, you're saying that won't make a difference?
I'm saying you're not going to end up losing space, so it wouldn't impact my view on the
road. That's helpful. I just wanted to make sure. I want to ask a couple of other questions. I'm going to go to the Council Schwartz. I asked my colleagues to look at the comprehensive plan, which is put in our desk, and I'm quite hopeful they addressed by both Jason and you. But I really focus on page 324, which talks about the potential for additional commercial space in Newtonville. And at the time, it talks about the ability to increase commercial space by about 40% in the village center. And now we're being told from the petition on the planning department back in that analysis that there's really no market for additional commercial space. We're actually losing commercial space when you net out this project. So I'm trying to understand where the planning department is suggesting the additional commercial space now goes in the village, or is suggesting that the comprehensive plan is wrong or mistaken in terms of the capacity for additional commercial space.
Well, I think there's two things that I want to hit, and that is that commercial space includes retail as well as office.
Understood.
So the comprehensive plan does talk about there being the capacity for more commercial space. It doesn't necessarily talk about the market for commercial space. And what we are saying is that the market for office space does not appear to be there right now, but certainly the market for retail space is.
Where is it? Have you done any independent analysis in the planning part of that function?
We have not.
Okay. And I'm still going back to, we are looking at future development in this area. There's obviously potential according to the comprehensive plan. Where is that going to be if in the main part of Newtonville we're not utilizing it?
The main potential is to go up, not out. So,
and we are going up here, and we're not putting it in here. So where in the village center would we put this additional commercial space?
Some area that's zoned manufacturing near the Harvard Street Bridge that could support some office commercial space there. The new some storage facility is going. There are other buildings that are only one floor that could go higher and that could support
the market. But in the part of the street or in the area where Lewis Parish is considered the heart of the village center, isn't it?
Still consider Newtonville in my mind because it's still within a few minutes of the commuter rail.
I guess I'll differ with that assumption. I would have a hard time thinking that the Lewis Parish area is what is meant by our village center. But that's just my opinion. I'm going to get something short and tell the father. Go ahead, Dr. Schwartz.
Thank you, sir. Just, again, a little bit of a busy question. Something's probably going to happen here. So let's see if this is what we want here or not. And, again, I was struck by some of the numbers in the memo that, for example, if we're going from 13 million grades at size to 62 million, right? Around there, that's a 4-time increase. But because such a large portion of it is residential, we're clearing a lot less from a totally monetary kind of cost benefit than we would if more of a certain market, but the market isn't ready. But that's clearly the developer's concern about what they can do as far as filling in everything. From the city's point of view, obviously, you can think about, what's that from a budgetary point of view. So, clearly, a slightly more commercial or commercial food than what kind of retail and office. A larger commercial proportion would definitely give us a larger benefit and say larger tax revenue, lower cost with commercial margin. So, I'm just wondering if so is that proportion the service to be unlike portion of the assessment book where is that from a planning point of view an acceptable kind of trade-off if we're going from for a triple the amount of square feet and reducing the amount of the set size but we're only getting 350 instead of 150,000 in net so from a planning perspective, like when you look at other communities, what they do, does that meet the...
Fairly consistent. I mean, essentially, it boils down to each type of project comes with trade-offs. Office comes with more traffic and a much bigger parking requirement, which doesn't necessarily do a lot for a village center. You don't think of Newtonville as a huge employment generator and a big employment base, even as Wells Avenue and Eden Street, sort of every major employment center. But, there is room for some office and certainly retail. And I would say that, that while there are costs and trade-offs associated with residential units, meaning the school children, the ratio is fairly consistent in other projects that I've seen in my experience.
Again, most of the developers answering the question is good about office, maybe less of that, right? Said what about office? But what about retail? Like second floor retail, larger type of retailers that do have more than one floor. Would that be something that would benefit this project that would perhaps be more available? I'm curious if that would be better if, it's not usually
I'm not, there are too many areas that I can think of in Newton that support second floor retail. Maybe the developer could answer this question better or not, but I'm not necessarily seeing the market for that. Yeah, maybe, but not really
something for it. No, I'm not going to say
moving to the first floor. And the square is similar. It's not a highway, but it's really a very well-trafficked street, a lot of passing traffic.
Mm-hmm. I would say that's a more regional area where it might be more appropriate first before it happens here. Yeah.
Dr. Schwartz, do you want to add anything? I know that Councilman Schwab is really good. Anyone else? Just one second. I want to ask a follow-up question, Mr. Manager, for either you or Mr. Heath. And that is, what discussion, if any, do you have with this developer about adding more commercial space to the project? In terms of a positive request to do it.
Mm-hmm. We had repeated discussions of whether or not they could add commercial space, just like they said, talking about adding it only on the second floor of a building, or making one of the three buildings solely commercial so they can avoid the
administration.
Yes, I would say we asked them to look at it very seriously, and they said it just doesn't work for them.
I would like that when we reach the community in the future case to have a little more information about where else in Newtonville, the real Newtonville, the center of Newtonville, you see potential commercial development, which is, again, our comprehensive plan talks quite specifically about this. And I'm having difficulty, as you can tell from my questions, grappling with how we're going to never mind increase or even maintain our commercial space in the city as we add on a lot of potential residential projects. So I don't want you to go there with your time.
And one area that comes to mind off the top of my head is the parking lot at Star Market. That's a site that could maybe be able to accommodate parking below grade, could accommodate commercial development.
Thank you.
includes the planning department, is the next week. We're going to be talking more about design and infrastructure and so forth, but then there's another area about infrastructure improvement in the course of time.
Thank you.
actually in the one that says,
I mean, in my mind, it encourages people to use the public resources that we have in Newton and continue using the parks and playgrounds, because Albemarle would be very close and it's right at Horace Mann. Catholic also isn't far as well.
Newton York is not that far away either. Any other members of the council have any questions? Councilor Norton, and then I promise you we'll get to public comment.
Just one clarification. When Ms. Nunn was saying that the criteria of the federal permit and the criteria of the NB4, this is not an NB4 district at this point. So I just want to clarify that, so that those criteria when they do some requests about, but it's not an NB1, the district one, the NB2. So it might be helpful for our discussion to study that, to put the criteria and how well, you know, the body system is trying to fit those criteria to study the current.
The criteria for that would be the same second permit criteria that we already considered.
Thank you. Anything else from my colleagues? I see none. I'm going to start off with any members of the public who is not fully previous about this project. If you want to raise your hand, it's not fully previous. That is a significant number of folks. We're going to start off with the gentleman right in the front here. On the number 5, come on up. I'm going to try to move backwards and go on the other side. And if I could have the person in the next row who is not spoken yet, come on up and go in to follow, that would be helpful. Okay, if you're not spoken, next row down. Remember, name, address, 3 minutes or less. Good evening, sir.
My name is Gabriel, and first I'd like to start by saying that I've been living in Newton for most of my life. I'm a former Newton North student from the class of 2010, and I was very active in my experience growing up in Newton as a South African immigrant. And I'd also like to talk about why other than people of different backgrounds could benefit from more affordable housing options, like the Washington Place. My parents weren't able to get into the education growing up. So it's been in their life to make sure that they got the same opportunity. Like anything I tried to put in order to ensure that we would get great, not just get a great education. We need to move to Newton, so which has some of the best schools in the country, I think it would be true. So we moved from our affordable home in Westboro, and that's to stay with small apartments at the edge of the Newton. Or in Watertown. But it didn't matter that it was too expensive, too small, or that my parents had to work two, sometimes three jobs to support because we had an access to Newton. And that meant that we could attend some of the schools here and for opportunities we simply couldn't in other towns. We all knew how much our parents sacrificed, so when my children were running out from school, we didn't let their hard work go here. My younger sister's body, my younger brother Clark, and I all graduated from Bigelow Middle School and Newton North High School. We all accomplished a lot, and we can find a way to move forward to a younger man. I think that being able to live in Newton and get a great education here helped play a huge role in my life, and I've been able to contribute to the community. Now, as a young professional looking at how to take my future, I'd like to give back to you and make you all the great opportunities that I've been given to receive growing up here. However, finding a world of partnering in Newton has been difficult to say the least, and I have no way to walk in. I know there are many people like me that have been rich here every day. This includes my parents, who after many years of being able to call this home, have been forced out by the rising cost of rent, and at the end of this month, they will get to move. Everyone in my family, as well as relatives and friends, are very fortunate to enjoy a living in Newton, since it's not a realistic option. We know firsthand that this project, this scarcity of affordable apartment options up to the smart, talented, and young people are the least. These are people that can play a very important role in the town's social fabric and in the interaction with cities like we have. But they can't be the rising cost of having to live in the again. And we need to do something about that. Washington Place is part of the solution, with 25% of all rental units having either affordable or middle-income fixed rent. This project is a very important precedent for future development across the region. We should build Washington Place right away to allow more young people like me to have a chance to continue living in the community to lead a better place than already is. Please support this project when the time comes.
Thank you, sir. Actually, one up. I'm Debbie Winston, Grassley, Elizabeth. A private developer proposed a 171 unit, 5-story building on Washington Street in Walnut, one of the biggest developments in Jerusalem. What's the matter with it? It's a visual eyesore that looks like a prison. The prison has an overcrowding problem too.
Thank you, sir. Next, please.
My name is Barbara Lincoln, and I'm the resident of the Walmart in Long Beach. When I heard about the sale, I was concerned about what would happen to my home and where I was going to live. From the very beginning, the support and the team was contacting me and working to understand my home and needs. After meeting with Mr. Paul himself, he offered to provide me the best improvement situation as well to my current home. He also said as my first priority in the affordable housing tour in the project. Soon after I was in the council for a team of contacting me to walk into the transition into my new home and the application for the affordable housing at Washington Place. Through the resort, we had a process of transition into my new home. I was living with some girls who had after losing both their oldest and home and their parents for many years. As she had it, their dirty, their emotions, and their opinion let down.
I'm wondering what the one just lady's guidance this trend of paying attention to those who have lived as long in the colonial family, who are the apprentices, who are homeowners, who are taxpayers, who do not need any more additional assistance. I am for progress, but there are limits and boundaries to what the city, particularly my town, my village, can accommodate at this time.
Thank you. We are not a popularity contest, and we're not going to have a positive. All right? We're going to do this as we've been doing in a very civil manner. And frankly, I'm quite proud of the way that my fellow citizens are conducting themselves in terms of presenting their viewpoint, which is an open democratic process. But we really can't have applause, we can't have theory, we just need to listen to one another. Go ahead, please.
Thank you.
There are a lot of people and other farms, we do have a wonderful amaranth in the city, and there's a lot of tall grass buildings, and it does seem like a forest. And some people move in these parts of the city, they don't want to be in the city, they want it to feel, they want it to feel more like a suburb, and they want a community. And in Carter, and in Washington, we build up a feeling of community. And it's very important that any Carter wants to move out of there. In terms of the comment about the very beautiful century, we have some very beautiful shores. We have a test for it here from here. The first thing we have next to you is about that. And that's brought a lot of evidence into the beautiful century, particularly the country. And then there we go to what?
Or a long time. So when all Thank you, sir. I want to say thank you.
treatment and speaking to all of them, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I think this is just beautiful. Both down my community to go to your head and everything. My name is Rosalie Wiener, and unfortunately, I can't live in meeting anymore. This is what gives me the chance. I brought up, I really put my on 7th Street in subsidized housing. I brought up some stuff I had to move three times, and my son graduated in 2000, 2001, and 2002. And I love meeting. I've not felt homelessness, I've had amnesia. I've had bilateral breast cancer, I love meeting. I spent my life with them. I support their cancer from the community. And I still belong to a husband work in the community and have friends and consider that place I come when I volunteer for political campaigns. And the team without me has really broken my heart. And I was give people like me capacity who were passionate, who loved the city, who supported the city. I still come back. I feel like it's home. I'm trying to find that border in the city. And I can't be here. And I have not felt at home in the city. No matter what my challenges do not support, I'm raising my son, moving, working on to keep me here. I am home. And I will do anything to be back home again. And most of all, to see that people such as me do not have to be new and to stay here. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please, good evening.
Hi, this is Jane Castle Gold. I'm a lifelong visiting resident, and I'm here to support the Washington Place project. Okay. I turned 60 years old yesterday. At this time in my life, my husband and I are currently doing that. What we are going to do. We're going to have a next year old, we're going to get the next move, and we think about where we're going to go next. This project where my husband works just over the line is part of now. I worked in the New York lobby project in New York on campus on the outside, so I need access to that site. These persons and many others, many more to live in an environment that we need to go into our own issues. This is a community within a community, and I think this kind of a home environment would provide that for us. Yeah, this is a critical thing. This is new construction. These are things that I have come to my wonderful and I know it so well. And this is what we want, is going into the older years of our lives. On the flip side, I also get to represent my 27-year-old daughter. She's wonderful, she's terrific, graduated in the South, went on to the FIT, after the Institute of Technology in New York, and worked in the business together. One of the metaphors of the new my daughter has crippled this life together. The new public schools were a godsend for us. My daughter can now drive cars, she can do wonderful things because of everything that she has given her choices to be like. But because she was in high academic grade and doesn't have an advanced degree because of her crippled school this life together, she has scolded the price out of this community because the challenge
I am one of those
that I'm not open to bring your soul, and I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And I hope that I will win the lottery. Thank you very much.
Out of line, and now they're getting quite down.
them. And find that we have a lot of housing that is high-end housing here, and not a lot of it, but most of it that we have is multi-family. And then we have high-end apartment buildings. And there's really nothing in between. And right now, currently, I'm working with a couple, and they have a business here. And they need a two-bedroom, two-bedroom unit. And as you know, we have that two-bedroom lot here in Lexington. I think this is a new place to protect the children. But unfortunately, it's become a vehicle for discrimination. Because I'll call landlords and they'll say to me, we think that that's kind of legislation. And so we're not
thank you, sir.
my observation. Is there anybody else who's not spoken previously wants to be heard this evening? Well, we're going to do that to more people, and then we'll see what we will ask them to do.
Good evening. My name is Ernesto Gonzalez. I've been living in Newfoundland with the priest for 40 years. I raised all my family here. To me, a very important part of the equation in discussing the quality of life of living in Newfoundland. I'm a physician. I commute every day to Newfoundland. I mean, from Newfoundland to Boston. And I think that this is a garden to be in the sense that even though we are only 9 miles away from Boston, we don't have the quality of life that living in Boston requires. So I hope that these projects will be downsized or are coming to be, even though you are not in the development business, but try to find this area on the right to develop some projects that will be smaller, will allow people who are looking to live in Newton, but to live in Newton in such a way that it continues to be the way for the quality of life on the earth. Thank you. Units that will actually be affordable,
but I think there's only a few of them, and I think there were more people here who were hoping to get into that than really exist. The other thing I'd like to say is that not only do I think it's a thing to master, but just from a practical point of view, I'm in the world that I think it's going to be horrendous if you're going to be narrow and discreet. But I may be wrong. What I would suggest is that from the app, your street project has been approved. I didn't think it should have been, but given that it is, we have a lot of projections on what's going to happen. My last question is if those projections come through, and then I should have more confidence in people's projections. Thank you.
My name is Roy O'Reilly. We live in New Brunswick for 30 years, and I came from the Concord school system. I strongly oppose this project. I think it's way too massive, especially in light of what the building is going on Boston Street, and also I think in Massachusetts, Common Street, I believe. My office is in that structure it's not in that structure. My office will be, of course, taken down, so I'm not in favor because of that as well. But even like, my office has moved, but I think that this is, I think Newton, when I think of Newton, people think of Newton, and everybody in the people should agree with me on this, there's a certain charm and character of Newton. Newton is so, it's such a gentle state. It's not quite Newton. And this doesn't fit in Newton. This is going to change so much about the town. It disgusts me. And it's all of that. Of course, real estate agents like it, there will be more units than them for them. But it's not a good club. There's no way that has added that much concrete, all of those things, all of those stores, those levels of buildings, is going to make it a more enjoyable and attractive city. I think that we have to, I think the real estate companies are taking over Newton and really degrading it. And again, I'm so opposed to this that it's sickening that you can put a structure up like that. That's enormous. And think that it can tell us that that would be good for you. Yeah, good luck getting home and getting stuck in that traffic.
Thank you, sir. Come on up,
please.
Good evening.
The old lady, Walnut Place, in East Hill. I was born in Brandon, New York, when I was in high school, and just in order to have my mother and had a couple of kids, but I couldn't afford them, and then I moved to Nina. And I was in Nina for 30 years. And after that, I was in the summer of 24, and I was then in New York. Everything that the speaker said, I have to know that. And my two places, I'm going to do that too. 6 came to our village, and with all of them are life in the village. We do not need more density. The way it is now, we certainly don't need five stories, so I'm hoping that you vote no for whatever the waivers are and the height of the zoning. I would say 3 stories for sure, and 4 at most, at least just ridiculous. This will set a precedent to development, but for everyone and whoever else has the money to buy up all the one that is on the wall and Washington Street corner. And the lights in Newton, don't just think this is going to be Newton built. It will be in Washington, it will be in Newton Center, it will be Chester Hill, and by the way, we are not being heard. I urge you to take part of the zoning.
Do not vote for this zone. Thank you. I oppose the rezoning. I know there will be something there. I oppose the rezoning for many reasons, which I won't take time up tonight. But
but you have to say in the context of what our church is doing, and I'm going to go with my father, but our heart is breaking, really. For the many, many people who seem to have been led to believe that this is really going to be a mecca for housing they can afford, when in reality, these are luxury apartments with perhaps one section and then another one, the very, very few affordable housing, and then if we take away the affordable housing, they will be destroyed. And as our people are being evicted, there's a very time in that game. And so my heart breaks for the people who have been led to believe that they can move to New York, that this will be affordable, that the doors will swing open, that they can raise their children in the new school system. When in fact, this is a very few people, and so I understand it is my daughter. And whoever would encourage me, all these people, to hope and dream that this is their entryway into a place that we could really live. I wish that misinformation could be taken back and clarified so that we could be somebody broken dreams and broken hope. And I just ask you that from my heart.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who is not spoken to you during the process and wishes to be heard this evening? One of you. Anyone else that who is spoken to you up here? And I think we're going to wrap it after that. It is just about 10 o'clock. I don't have any more time. Good evening.
I live on Timberland Avenue in the town. And I thought that I was going to take over my neighborhood, fixing two families, a single family home, to town houses that have the minimum legal setback line. We don't know the neighbors in those houses because there's no place to meet them. They don't have lines. They don't have a place where they could congregate and meet a non neighbor. They're transmitted. And it's completely changing our neighborhood. A development like this, our researchers and teachers, it's commonly we can't deliver. Right now, there's one train a day that stops at that stop. If you're in an economic condition where you can't afford a car, you're not going to be able to live there. We had subsidized housing for only one neighborhood, and they had to leave because their union pursued transportation to let them get the same job so they could afford to live in need, and they couldn't afford to own a car in the city. And as for the quality of life in an environment there, drive over these days, stop at the corner of Pleasant Street and North Avenue, where there's one of these huge residences where the apartment is building, they still all the way out to the sidewalk, there's no shade, there's no place to congregate. I don't want to have my car in that neighborhood, let alone stand next to this vacant building on the hot head. If it was settled back in the street, then we could have dying in better congregation. If you have a way of meeting the people who are going to live there, it might be different. So I want to understand that I also object on the basis of the scale and the fact that all the benefits that I'm hearing about do not include only to the
benefit. Thank you. Good evening, sir. I'm not sure I did it for a few minutes in the lab. I'd like to say that our block is really excellent for the project. Our students have become pretty much an extended part of a lot of businesses because there is no way to park. And there's a lot of concern in the neighborhood that development and parking can also impact in the future. So one thing that I just wanted to say is I just wanted to, I work in Watertown. We experienced Pleasant Street and it was done the way planning and the series suggestions issued by issue, and it was a disaster. With Arsenal Street, we got a much better planning process going, and I just wanted to
hope that you folks will see what Councilor Albrecht has been able to do before we start doing policy development. This is a real chance to really contact what it's worth in the neighborhood. It is a neighborhood that lives there. Most of my neighbors are opposed to this new development that are going on, and that they're hearing that they
anybody else who's not spoken previously? Okay, with that, just about 10 o'clock, we are going to adjourn the meeting. We are reconsidering on October 6th, 3 points. We're going to focus primarily on designing innovations and direct. We have plenty of different presentations and planning. You're welcome to provide any comments in writing and in interaction.